We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Praise the Lord. It's time to take time for Jesus. I hope that you have in the days gone by and given consideration that the things that are happening around the world, that God's still on the throne and he has control over these things if you just have that hope in him. If you have hope in this world and the things of the world and the arm of flesh and in some kind of other thing that is carnal, a man or anything of that nature, my friend, and do not have hope in God, then your life is most miserable. So we just want to encourage you as we go from day by day to read your word, to read the Bible, and to look into it and find the comfort there in God's word that we need in these last days. We know that by him only can we have that peace that surpasses all of our understanding, that wherein that God came into this world and died for the sinners. He died for all that would call upon him, and he brought forth that plan that if we follow his plan, that we can have the eternal life that he has promised. But that hope, that without that, we're most miserable. My hope is in him, and I hope that your hope is in him also. Not in the arm of flesh, or not in the Pope of Rome, or not in the President of the United States, or any other man to that matter, that I pray that you would have your hope in Christ Jesus, because he is the only one that can bring us into that blessed place that he said that he would go and prepare for us. Man cannot do that. The Pope can't do it, and regardless of what he might say, that he might try to convince you that he's got all the authority and on the earth as God does in heaven. He's not a true man of God. He's fooled people around for so long through that false teachings and everything. But I want you to understand that Christ Jesus is the only one that we can look forward to. He's the one that's going to bring forth salvation, or has already brought it forth through his death on the cross. None of the apostles and no pope has ever died for your sin. His blood is tainted with sin and corruption, with faults and sin, and he could not present it because it had to be a lamb sacrifice, pure and no blemishes. And he can't say that because he's man. So my friend, today, I don't try to say that I could have done it because I can't. But I want you to understand that I, like Paul made mention about, I'm not ashamed of this gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's power unto salvation. There's no other gospel. There's no other way that we can make it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So if you trusted in them false teachers that's going around and all that and saying this and saying that, you got to realize the word of God is truth. It's proven to be infallible. You look into the word and you see that wherein that Jesus predicted the things and prophesied of the things that to come upon the world in these last days. And look about and see in what happens and read the Bible. He made mention about all these things, that sin running rampant and people doing all kinds of things and sin and corruption, killing people for no reason at all, and all these things that would to come, the troubles on the world. And he said that they would be. So they are now, even as he says in the days of Noah, that I have repeated unto you several times, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They were doing everything which was right in their own sight. They was following after traditions of man and following after false gods and false teachers and everything then, doing whatever that they seen was pleasing in their sight. but they didn't know God. Noah was the only one that God found favor with, and he was the only one with his wife, his three sons, and their wives. And, of course, the animals is the only ones was allowed to get into the ark. My friend, it's getting to be the wherein that people have become to lovers of pleasure more than the lovers of God like they did then. And so whether or not we're going to be in, we're going to go away in God's safety in that proper time that when he returns. The ark was a type of the rapture, but nevertheless, he told Noah to come in. He brought his family and everything was ready, and Noah escaped the flood. But will we escape the troubles that is foreset for this world, the destruction that is yet to come? Are we hid in Christ? Are we able to face up to the reality of the troubles in this world? Are we troubled in such a way that we can't be comforted out of the Word of God? My friends, it's time that we took comfort in God, because he's the only true comfort. I can do certain things for you that may relieve and help you in many things, but he is the only one that can give you comfort for your soul. He's the only one that can give you salvation. I can't, but I can point you to him that can, the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to read something other to you here before we get started. And we look into the book of Revelations here, and we enter there in the 8th chapter in the 4th verse, and it says, "And the smoke of their incarceration with prayers of the saints ascended up in to God at, from the angel's hand." That's when the things was being poured out. The angel poured out these things. And the smoke of their incense, their prayers, in other words, that was of the saints, ascended up to God from the angel's hand. Now, just for a thought here, he said that we can look now. We see all these evil things that are happening in the land. He said evil and injustice prevails the world, oppression and the righteous. The oppressing the righteous, it seems as though wickedness enjoys iniquity and they harm an innocent, ye God's offering. Yet God offerings to, at every act of justice or injustice, God will answer every cry in distress. The prayers of his saints shall remain before him until the respond fully in his time and in his way. He's going to repay all of the things that people have done against his children, the wickedness, them that are persecuted them, even from the time of the beginning. We know that how that many of the Jewish people was killed in the Suration there with the Romans and all that kind of thing, and the book of martyrs brings forth that the killing of many of the Jewish people and the saints because they rebelled against the Catholicism as it was the Roman Empire. My friend, it's time we take and heed to the Word of God and listen to what it has to say, because we're living in the fulfillment of God's Word. We're looking at the time that Noah's day, there was sin running rampant of all kinds. And then when he penned there also in the book of Luke and about the time of Noah, he said, "And it shall be even as it was in the times of Noah and of Lot." We're looking at not all, just about all of the United States and a lot of countries have went head over heels for this year, same-sex marriages, which is God has put put his seal upon it of his there that he's done put a curse on it. In other words, he said he would destroy it, and it will do, even to them that have favor with him. So, my friend, to be careful about it. We see that how the Pope is all for it, but some of the Cardinals, they went against it, and they're justified in God's sight if for that, for nothing else. But I want you to understand that we're living close to the time, and I try to, with whatever I can and however I can, out of the Word of God, to comfort you through the Word of God, to let you know that these things that are up on the world and the crises that are happening with this Ebola going on and the sins and the things are running rampant, people killing one another for no reason at all, and they come into the place that we're in that we're looking at this ISIS is going along killing people, beheading them because they won't go for their way of life. My friends, we're in trouble, and our only hope can be in Christ Jesus. If we don't know him, and we know if we're just lost, because he said without him we can do nothing. Without his spirit we're none of his. So we need to realize that we've got to come to the place of accepting him and his authority that he has in this world, even though many men think they have the right of authority. Even our president thinks that he can just sign it off with the stroke of the pen. But God's going to sign it off with the stroke of depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Now, friends, it's come the time that we need to realize that we need to be comforted by the Word of God and by the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God. It's time we take into consideration where will we spend eternity. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. So my wife's got something other here that she wants to read to you, and I believe that you'll find it interesting. There's some names there. We're going to refrain from calling the names because of, you know, how it goes and everything. We haven't gotten their permission to use their names, so therefore we will refrain from their names. But nevertheless, it's something of an interest, and take heed to the comfort that God only God can give to us through his spirit. And forsake not the assembling together. Some people think that the ball games is more important. All this here other stuff, legalizing dope is more important than letting God come into our lives and rule and reign. But one day, if you don't take heed to the word of God and let God come into your life, repent of your sins, it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah, when the thunder began to roar, and the lightning flashed, and the rain began to fall, the door was shut, and that door of opportunity is open for salvation right now. But when God shut the door in the ark, there was no more hope for them that was outside. And them that are left behind after God comes and claims his bride, it's going to be trouble, trouble, trouble. So, my friends, it's time we take comfort in the Word of God. So, here's my wife. She's got something for you here.
Praise the Lord. I just greet you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for this opportunity to share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart to read. And we pray that you'll be blessed by it, and it'll comfort you that the name of it is Where Fear Meets Hope. Here's a famous quote from President Franklin D. Roosevelt. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. You can go into the history books and you can find that was what he had said. At the time of his inauguration, the United States was facing one of the worst economic crises in history. And the eternally optimistic FDR was trying his best to keep the country from erupting in panic. Whether it was that statement or dozens of his innovative new approaches to kickstart the economy, things began to rapidly improve soon after that speech. It is my prayer that as we meet fear head on in our world and in our families, we may soon realize where fear meets hope. We stand in the power of God. Let us search the scriptures now and find a deeper meaning of fear and the overcoming power of hope. In Psalms 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. How often have you thought of fear as being a good thing? The fear of God equates respect. The knowledge of who God is gives us a reverential fear that convicts us when we go astray and draws us back under the authority of the Almighty God. This could very well be the deciding factor in our world today. You see, somewhere along the way, our people have lost faith in God. They've turned away from sin. They turn into sin. And the chief reason no one is seeking God for repentance is they have no fear of God. They think they can handle their lives on their own, but wait. God is a giver of life. He breathed the breath of life into us. He created us. He calls us by name and knows us by heart. He loves us as a father, and yes, he disciplines us as an earthly father disciplines his child. He doesn't force us to love him or obey him, but he waits for us to realize our need for him. Then in his great mercy and love, he opens his arms to receive us as his own. Thus fear gives us the wisdom to seek the truth of God, and it's in that truth that we find the freedom to live life to the fullest. John 8:30-32, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How many people are searching for freedom today? How many are allowing the fear of man to destroy their life and leave them astray? I think of the many young people who have been deceived into a following in the footsteps of man instead of following in the footsteps of Jesus. They've turned away from the true and living way, seeking answers from this world, only to have bound themselves in the confusion and sin of this old world. Oh, that people would seek God and the hope he offers us through the gift of his own dear son for our salvation. Our world is at war, or rumors of war, wars of conflict and pain, but more than this, war of deception and fear. I go back to the quote from FDR, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. We have been consumed by fear. And until we fall on our knees before Jesus Christ our Lord and simply say, help, we will stumble around the truth until we are so tangled in fear that we cannot survive. Here's your challenge. As believers in Jesus Christ our Lord in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that feareth, that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Meet fear head on. Tell others of the hope you found in Jesus. This world needs that hope, not the hope of man, but the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Become who God made you to be, a light in this dark world. Fear fades when we put our trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want to thank those that have prayed for us, those that have helped us, those that have emailed us, and we just thank the Lord for this opportunity. Again, we ask you to read your Bible every day. Don't listen to the preacher on Sunday or on Wednesday night or whenever. Read your Bible for yourself. I use King James. A lot of people don't like the King James, but to me, it will give you a better understanding. And if you pray about it before you read it, the Lord will lay it on your heart, and you can get us on the computer at www.phoenixbroadcasting.com. Take Time for Jesus. Email us. We'd like to have your feedback. We'd like to have your support in your prayers and everything. And it's ecompton31@yahoo.com. Or you can write to us at Take Time for Jesus, Post Office Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. Today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow may not come for you. Repent, for your salvation is at hand. May God bless you. Here's Brother Earl.
Amen. My friend, today we're looking to, in the world of, is in chaos. It's a trouble on every hand, and our only comfort is to come from our Lord. And we need to realize that He is the great author of comfort. He came into this world to die for you and I, and He did so to fulfill all righteousness. He brought this comforter that He said, if I not go away, the comforter will not come. That comforter came when Jesus ascended into the heavens. The Spirit of God came on the day of Pentecost, as the scripture says, and that was the great comforter. As Jesus said that He would send another comforter, the Father would send another comforter in His name. So now we're looking in the place there where so many people are so dissatisfied with everything that man has done. And so why is it that they're so dissatisfied with the governors, with the political people and everything? Because they have led them down a road of promises that they cannot keep. They don't even keep themselves. And they promise you all kinds of things. And as the president promises all kinds of this and that and one thing or another, and then when it all comes down, the promises have been broken. It's been down through the years ever since time had begun. Man makes statements that he has, that when he makes it, he probably fully intends to keep it, but something other comes up and he just lets it go by the wayside. So is all the political people that they've come and said this and said that. And tell you the truth about it, my friend, they lie on one another so bad until it's pathetic. If them people was guilty of everything that they said that they are guilty of, they ought to be put in jail. Because they robbed, stealed, lied, and cheated in every way and everything. But I'm telling you that there's only one hope that we have. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And if you're putting your faith in the trust of the material things and the carnal things of this world, you got them in the wrong place. You put your money in the bank, and sometimes it'd probably be safer under your mattress in a Prince Albert can with your 38 in your pocket and the dog laying on the bed. My friends, it's come to the time that we're in that we need to consider our only hope is in Christ Jesus. If you have your hope built upon the man, on the carnality of man and on the arm of flesh, you're looking in the wrong direction, my friend. God is our only hope of supply of comfort. He's the only one that can bring that peace that passes all of our understanding. That comforter is Jesus Christ. Amen. He will come to the place that we're in that I can't go and you can't go to comfort somebody else, but He can bring a comfort into your mind, of your heart, and into your life such as no one else can if you just trust in Him. But you got to believe in Him. You got to trust in Him. Not because it's some fella on the TV or somewhere or another said, plant your seed and God's going to pour you out, reopen up the windows of heaven. I know the scripture says this, but that man is after your money and all that you can give to him. He's not giving you. The seed of salvation comes from the word of God, my friend. That's the seed that Jesus said that He went out and sowed. He plainly tells you that. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, He brings forth that the sower went out and the seed was the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Them that would believe upon the Lord, that they fell on the good ground and they brought forth an increase. But them that fell among the thorns and the cares of this life and the cares of this world following after man and everything choked them out. And them that fell on the around the rocks and without anything, they come up sparingly, but they didn't last long, because when trials and tribulation comes, and my friend, trials and tribulations up on us, and they're not standing simply because they have no foundation. They not got enough of the word in them. They took it and run with it, but they didn't come to the right place to have the nourishment, the word of God, the comfort that only the Holy Ghost can give you and nourish you and bring you up in the beauty of holiness, to whereby that God will comfort you in the time of trouble. My friend, we're living in the days of the end. There's trouble all around us. We hear about the earthquakes and the wars and the rumors of wars, and how that this ISIS, as they call it, is out there killing people for just because they want to, seemingly. And many other people, they're going around. We've got them here want to join with those people simply because they've been taught things differently from what God says, to love even to your enemies. And that's a hard thing to do, I'm sure. I believe it is, because I find it kind of difficult and everything. But God said to love even to your enemies. Pray for them even as much. He will bring the comfort to us if we'll ask Him, believing in faith, giving Him that opportunity to live in our life, that we can live the life that He had chose for us to live. We can't live it in ourselves. We got to have the help. And the only help that we can have that would bring us into the salvation of God is that great comfort that only God can give us. The devil is not going to comfort you into the things that we're in, that God can give you the comfort and hope, my friend. So if you got your hope in the material things of this world, the God of this world has brought it forth and placed it in front of your eyes and told these people that this is the way God made me, and this is the way God wants me to have, and this and that. And they take, if they can't get it no other way, they take a gun and go out there and get it. This is the way the God of this world operates in the mind of the people. But God Himself comes into your heart, and He dwells in you and gives you hope. And He'll give you that comfort. He'll give you that promise of eternal life, in which it can be, but only in Christ Jesus. You can't have it by hoping in this world. There's a lot of people who's got hope that they're going to have a good job. They're going to have prosperity and everything. And there's nothing really wrong with that. But if you've got all that you've got, all that hope, and that's all the hope you got in this world, you're most miserable. Because you haven't got hope in God, then you ain't got no hope, not really, that it's going to benefit you anything. What's it going to hope to be, have a first-class job, to be at the corporate ladder and climbing up onto the first part of it and get up there and everything, and all of a sudden a massive heart attack hits you or something other like that, and you're not comforted in God? My friend, you're just going to lose it all, even to possibly maybe your life. Our only hope is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We need to hide in that strong name of the Lord, in that precious name of Jesus. Need to be hid in that strong tower that wherein the righteous can go into and are saved. Honey, there's no safety in this world anywhere. They are come to trying to bring peace, and some of them says that there's going to be peace and safety. The word said, but there'll be sudden destruction. Even the Lord said, told the apostles there, He said in them, He said, "You think I come to bring peace? I come and brought a sword." He brought division, my friend, even to in the households of man, that there's women against their daughters and daughters against the mothers and so on and so forth like that there. And the Bible says that some of your worst enemies is in your household. Well, look around you and see that what has happened in the past years, that how in that some man gets all upset with his wife, and he'll go kill her, and maybe the children and all. It's happened. Then he kills himself. Where is his hope then? His hope is gone. My friend, it's time we begin to realize that our hope is in God. And if we can't put our hope and trust in Him, we're a most miserable bunch of people. We ain't got no hope if we ain't got it in Him. We got no comfort except in Him. These things that are happening in the land, if you recall back at how God let some wicked people overcome Israel and captured them and carried them away over into Babylon over there. Them people was more wickeder than they, but He let them overcome them to teach them a lesson. So don't be surprised if the wickedness of this world don't come to about, because the book of Revelation speaks about that the old beast would make war with the saints and overcome them for 42 months. Where are you going to be at if you're not hid in Christ? If you can't go to Him and be assured that your life is secured in Him, then where will it appear at? It'll appear in the darkness pits of hell. That's where it'll come to. Fear God. It's the scripture said the fear of God is a sign of wisdom, the beginning of wisdom. So we need to have some wisdom about us. We need to rely upon the word of God and on the truth that He brought forth there. He's our only hope. If you just got hope in these things that you got accumulated around your house and you hope to be prosperous and everything like that there, and you ain't hoping in Christ and you ain't got the hope of glory in you, then your hope is in vain, my friend. I'm sorry to tell you, but I take joy in bringing forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of it. It's the only hope that we have. You put your hope into all these other things that are in the world and you ain't got no hope in God, your hope is in vain. It's going to be lost. He's our only hope. He's the hope of salvation. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And if we're not been born again, and I mean really truly born again, coming unto the Lord Jesus with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, mean weeping your way, asking forgiveness of your sins, and giving God glory and praise, letting Him come into your life and bear it. Being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, receive of His blessings, and therefore walk in the newness of life. Because if we've been born again, we become a new creature in Christ. The only way you can become a new creature is being born again. Nicodemus was a man of there in the temple, and he was a Pharisee, but he come there to the Lord and asked Him, he said, what must he do that he might inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, he said, you must be born again. You must be born again or you can't even see the kingdom of God. And in no wise, if you're not born again, will you enter into the kingdom of God. And that raising your hand, my friend, in a baseball stadium somewhere or another in this world and saying, Lord Jesus, come into my life, and then walk out of that stadium and walk in and doing the same old thing you've done all the time, ain't going to be much benefit to you. It's words in vain. It went out of your mouth, but your heart didn't bring forth any fruits of repentance, and you're lost. Our hope is in Christ, not in the man standing there and saying, if everybody wants to go to heaven, raise your hand and repeat after me. Bible says to come unto Him and repent, being brokenhearted with a contrite spirit, being sorrowful for your sin. Being know that there is hope in God, knowingly that you are lost and miserable in the sins of that we were born in. As the scripture says, we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We had need of salvation, and the only plan that has been brought down from the beginning, that it was in the mind of God that He came in the form of flesh, the man, to die for yours and my soul, that we're in, that we could have salvation. There ain't no hope in nothing else. There's no salvation in no other name. And these people that are claiming this and claiming that, my friend, is claiming the wrong God. There's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, but we're baptized into one body. God being the head of the church. We make up the members of the body of Christ, and we're all different, but we need to come to the unity of the Spirit, agreeing into the scriptures there, that we become one in Christ. Not divided. We got so many denominations around over the church of the world today claiming they're right and nobody else is right, and this one saying that and one saying the other. But I want you to know, is God divided? Paul said, some of you say I'm of Paul and some of Barnabas, some of Cephas and some of Christ. Is Christ divided? But yet you got all kinds of names of denominations around and claiming that they are the body of Christ. My friend, there's only one body, and that's the hope that we have in Him, Christ Jesus, the head, the chief cornerstone. He is the foundation. In Him we have salvation, not in something else. These denominations are coming in. They're preaching another Jesus. There's only one Lord and one faith and one baptism. Then why are they preaching that you got to go by? Jesus told them in Matthew 28:19 to go and to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, is Son and Father a name? Is the Holy Ghost a name, proper name? No, but the name of Jesus. I want you to know, my friend, that He's specifically declared that there is a name. And that name is Jesus. So now, if you're following in the old Catholicism that teaches you can pray to Mary, that will pray to Jesus, and Jesus will pray to the Father, you're in the wrong room, my friend. You need to go down to the water in Jesus' name, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's the only mediator between you and me, or between us and God. God is a spirit. And He requires, and He calls it, them that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. When Jesus told them, He said, that it's expediently that I go away, for if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. But I pray the Father that He'll send you another Comforter in my name. Jesus, in the spirit of the living God, came back to the people there on the day of Pentecost in a sound of a wind, in clothing tongues of fire, and they spake as the Spirit gave them utterance. And a lot of these denominations says those that do these things is an occult. I have fear for them, because they're going to fall into the hands of a living God and worry in that they may be partakers of the second death. My friend, it's time we understand that the only comfort we can get is out of the Word of God, believing on the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. When God spoke the word and into Mary's womb, and it became flesh, and He came back there to die for you and I, my friend, that's the only hope that we have is in Christ Jesus. The only name that He told Mary, that His name shall be called Jesus, and He shall save His people from their sin. That's where your hope has got to be, not in the Pope of Rome or in the President of the United States or no other leader or wherever at, no other man standing behind the pulpit, not even in me. My friend, I wouldn't tell you something of the wrong, but nevertheless, your hope needs to be in Christ. I can't save you. I can tell you about the one that can, but that's as far as I can go. I can go to the graveside with you and your family, but that's as far as I can go. I can read the articles of burying you and putting you in the ground and everything, but all I can do is place you in the hands of a living God. I've got no right to say that this one has gone to hell or this one's in heaven. I've got that no right, because that soul is going to be where it spent its life serving. And if it served God in righteousness, then it's going to appear in righteousness. It appeared with Him in His coming. And if he wasn't born again of the water and of the Spirit, receiving of Him the Spirit of the living God, being born again and leaving off the sins of this world and everything, he's in the hands of a living God. There's only darkness awaits him. But my friend, we got hope in Christ. If we don't have hope in Him, then we're most miserable according to the Word of God. We need to put our faith and our trust in that wonderful name of Jesus, the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth, that came into this world to die for our miserable soul, that we wouldn't have to spend eternity in hell. Where else can you have that promise at? The devil didn't promise it to you. The Pope can't do it. They make these people after he's dead for several years, and they come up with some kind of fantasy about him being worthy to be made a saint. If he wasn't a saint when he departed this world, if he was still a sinner when he departed this world, the breath of life left out of the body, he can't be declared a saint by no man. If he hadn't been one by the declaration of God himself, then he's a lost duck, is all I can say. I'm telling you, my friend, it's truth. It's time we begin to realize that the truth is in God's word. Man can say anything, but the word of God, that's why I encourage you to read your Bible. That way that man, no matter who he is or where he come from, can't deceive you by every wind of doctrine, by the deceit of, under his tongue, because the devil is an arch deceiver, and he himself have become an angel alive, and no wonder his ministers, his angels, or his imps, if you might want to call it that, they transform themselves into an angel of light to come to deceive and destroy. They didn't come to bring the glory of God into hand. They're not there. They're lifting up themselves. They bring forth there and bring out things into this world there to deceive you. They bring forth the scriptures is just enough of truth to fool you in. Pour in your seed, and God will open up the windows of heaven. He'll match down your $2, and he'll press it together, and he'll shake it all up, and he'll pour you out blessings that you'll be able to, not be able to have room to receive, and you're looking for millions of dollars. My friend, it doesn't happen that way. If you sow your seed in faith in Jesus Christ, and then when things begin to go wrong with you and you call on our Heavenly Father in that blessed name of the Lord, and he will supply your needs, he ain't going to put all the wants that you want into your heart. And that's all you want. When you plant that $20 bill or $100 bill, whatever it might be, into these things and expecting back a shaken together with abundance of material things and money and everything like that, you're putting it in the wrong place. The seed of salvation comes from the word of God, and that's what I'm trying to get you to understand. Your hope is in the wealth of this world. It's in vain. It's only in Jesus Christ that we can have hope of eternal life. It's his life that he gives for that you might have life to live, eternal life. He said, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. My friend, we can't have rest in this world. It's no rest in this world. Even for them that thinks that they got everything going and everything working for them, if they hadn't been born again, they're on that old broad road of destruction. They're going down the wrong path. If you hid in Christ, believing upon him, and following after him, then we're on the right trail. We're on the right road. That road that he said was a straight way, narrow gate that leads to eternal life. But broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many travel there on it. We got to realize, my friend, that there's a lot of people in this world that it went and raised their hand and said, Lord Jesus, come into my life, and they claim they're Christian. I want you to understand you got to be born again. Nicodemus was a person that was in authority in the temple, but he wasn't aware that how it Jesus was speaking about being born again. He thought, he said, hey, can a man when he's old enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again? That's carnal mind thinking, my friend. He's been saying, born of the water of the Spirit, being born of God, coming in there, repenting of your sins, letting God come into your life and make you a new creature. That's the only one that's going to enter into the kingdom of God. When the Lord comes in the clouds of glory to receive his bride, them that are ready will be, they'll be caught away. Whether he's asleep in the grave or whether he's still alive, it's going to be there that they'll meet the Lord in the air. But you can be like the 10 virgins, 5 foolish and 5 wise. The 5 wise kept oil in the lamp. They were filled with the Spirit of God. They had hope in Christ. They kept the light shining, letting people see Christ in them and everything, instead of going around in the darkness of night and hiding out in all these kind of places and everything. But them 5 foolish virgins done all that, and they all leaked out. But when they heard the sound, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh," they wanted to borrow it from the ones that had oil. No, you can't do that, my friend. You got to go to the throne of grace to get that Holy Ghost oil. Hallelujah. You can't go to the store and buy it like you can coal oil or gasoline or whatever. That spirit that he's speaking about, that oil of gladness, that oil, that the anointing of God, the Holy Ghost in you, that'll have you prepared to go out to meet the bride. Well, them 5 wise ones went out and the door was open, but when they got in, the door was shut. So here come the foolish ones. They had to go get some oil. Just an example. But when they come, they thought they was prepared. When they come and knocked on the door, he said, "Which cometh thou?" "I don't know you." The door was shut and they wasn't able to enter in. So when the church is took off the face of this earth, don't be taking heed to all that kind of stuff that you're going to be, go somewhere or another that these movies come out with this and you're left behind, that you're going to pay thousands of dollars and you get on some kind of safety somewhere or another and escape the wrath of God, because it ain't going to happen, my friend. The wrath of God is going to destroy everything that is here. It's left behind, in other words. He's even going to throw the devil and all them false prophets that claim that they're God on earth and all that kind of stuff. He's going to bind them up and pitch them in hell with all of the false prophets and those that love not God and did not seek after him. That's the second death. But they're going to be called up out of the scripture says that death, hell, and the grave is going to be come up. And he's going to judge them. And they that has not found their names found written in the Lamb's book of life. Oh, my friend, he said, depart from me. They'll be cast into hell, which is the second death. So now, we're all in this world as people, men and women. And we can go to the cemetery and we'll find from age 1 month on up to 100 years or better. Little graves, mediums, and large ones. But my friend, on that day of the resurrection, that time of the resurrection of the dead in Christ, them that are hid in Jesus Christ, been born again, is going to come forth. And them remain to be alive will be changed, and we'll meet the Lord to be with him forevermore. But them that are still in the grave, in the hell, and in death, and when the second judgment comes, white throne judgment, he'll call up death, hell, and the grave. And they that are names are not written in the Lamb's book of life, they have not been born again, will be cast into hell, which is the second death. And that's with all of them whoremongers, with drunkards and killers, and all them that have not repented of their sins and got it right with God, including them that followed the Pope in his conquest to think that he's some kind of special God on earth deal, and they believed them lies and followed them like they did the God of this world, and told these homosexual people that God just made them that way. That's a lie out of hell, and the devil's the father of it. God didn't make man in no such as that. He condemned it from the very foundation. He spoke about that man laying with beasts, a man laying with men, women with women. And he also brought forth the destruction there on Sodom and Gomorrah because of that very same thing. So you think that he's going to call them up and apologize to them and let this world go in the way that it's going because of this thing? Something that he said was an abomination in his sight, and he made it law. He's passed judgment on them, that he said them that do these things are worthy of death, and them that are friends with him, in other words, them judges maybe and everything, that they are sanctioned in this thing upholding and making laws to uphold their lifestyle and everything may find themselves in jeopardy, cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Into hell, in other words. A place called hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't prepared for mankind. But there's so many of them that wants to go there, evidently because they're living like the devil himself, doing all kinds of sin. They won't repent and be godly sorrow. They won't call upon the name of the Lord until something other happens in their lives to bring distress upon them. But the Lord says that he would laugh at their fear, mock at their calamities. So when all these things come upon them, my friend, and they have failed to call upon God when things went well with them, they don't know God, everything, oh, I'm doing great, I don't need God, that kind of attitude, he's going to laugh at you, mock at you. And when all this here thing of fear and everything, he's not going to comfort you. But he will say, away with you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. So what are you going to do? Are you going to live your life as you so desire in the flesh, seeking after the pleasures of this world and the life and the pleasures of whatever that the world has to offer you? Or are you going to seek after the kingdom of God and his righteousness while there is breath in your body? It ain't going to happen after the breath leaves. Because when you're dead, the dead knoweth nothing. And they ain't going to talk to nobody, regardless of all these witches that come along and said they did, but they don't. Only one place in the Bible says that the old witch of Endor called up the spirit of Samuel, and it like to scare her to death. And that's why they don't do these things. My friend, it's time that we begin to realize the Word of God is our only hope, because it would lead us into salvation. It will convict us of our sins and bring us there to the conscience of the need of salvation and for comfort for our soul to knowing that when the time comes, that when that comforter comes again in the clouds of glory, we can take comfort in him to know that we can be with him for eternity. So it's up to you and it's up to me. I choose to serve the Lord, as Joshua told the people when before they entered into the promised land there. He said, choose you this day to whom you will serve. Will you serve the gods on the other side, or will you serve God on this side? He said, but for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I want you to think about it, my friend. Your only hope, my only hope is in Christ Jesus. Our only hope is going to be hid in him. If we're hid in that name of the Lord as a strong tower, then we can have hope of eternal life. We can have hope in Christ. But in this world, if you only have hope, you are most miserable, because your hope ain't going to do you no good for the material things and the carnality of the mind of man. It's not the proper place to put your hope. Hope in Christ is the only place that I try to encourage you. That's your only hope, is in Christ Jesus. In these things of the world is no hope, because they'll all be destroyed and done away with. They'll be burned up with the fervent heat. All that, even to and he's going to come and bring forth a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So where is your hope in the material things are in this world going to be? It's going to be destroyed. Only in the new kingdom of God. As Daniel put it out, when the stone hewed out of the mountain without hands hit the beast at the feet of the clay and the iron was all mixed together with religious and sin and everything, when it struck the beast at the feet and it destroyed it, just broke it all up, and the wind carried it away like on the threshing floor. I want you to know that he said that stone that was hewed out of the mountain without hand grew until it filled the whole earth. And that's the kingdom of God. And if you're not hid in Christ, you won't be in that kingdom, my friend. If your name's not in Christ, in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're lost. And I hope and pray to God that you will take heed to the call that's going out, not just from me, but other preachers also that will preach you the truth of God's word, not seeking after wealth and the things and the material things of this world, but seeking for the soul to be born again of the water and of the spirit, hid in Christ for your salvation of this soul, because that's where it's going to count at. My friend, it's time that our time is about gone, and I just pray that God would touch your heart by his spirit and bring you to the knowledge of the truth in Jesus Christ. Read your word. Let me encourage you, read your Bible. Don't take the priest's word for it, because they've so many of them been led astray. And Mary can't help you, my friend. She would, just like any other woman, she's dead. She born to our Lord and Savior, but she is not deity. She'll be honored above all women, but nevertheless, she cannot do you any good. So pray to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is our only hope, the only one that died for you. Paul, Barnabas, Cephas, none of me or no other, Mary or nobody else died for you, but Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. God himself came into this world and died for our sin. He's the only hope that we have in Christ Jesus. May God richly bless you as our prayer as we pray one for another. Father, bless them to the ears to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Touch them, O Lord, and bring them forth for thy name's sake, that they may inherit eternal life in Christ Jesus. And all things will be accomplished. We'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31. 31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior.